You are listening to BensTorah.com.
One of the most relevant and practical areas of Hilchos Shabbos is Hilchos Muktzah. We'll discuss real-life shailas, interesting shailas, and together we'll learn important halachas that come up in Hilchos Muktzah, focusing on one category of Muktzah, a very practical category of Muktzah, Klisha Malach Del Isser, and the Heter of Tzarech Gufo, Tzarech Makomo, which we'll elaborate on. But before we start with halacha, let's start with one of the shailas, and we'll be discussing several. Let's start with a shaila to springboard some Torah. The alarm clock is ringing Shabbos morning. Can you carry it out of your room? You don't want to wake up your wife. She wants to sleep longer. You're going to shul. You're going to the daf. Can you carry the alarm clock out of the room? What if you use the cell phone as an alarm? Can you carry it out? What if you wake up early and the alarm didn't go off and you see it's about to go off in like 5 minutes and you want to get out of bed early and before the alarm starts ringing, you want to carry it out to be sensitive to your wife so she doesn't hear the alarm?
Unplugged, right?
What? Unplugged. Sakhanas nefashos. So, first question we could start off with is an alarm clock muktzah? A simple alarm clock. So there's a halacha, a category of muktzah, the type of muktzah that we're going to be talking about today, called a kli shemalach del iser. It's probably the simplest of the categories of muktzah, a kli whose usage is primarily for iser. A hammer is usually used for building or destroying. It's usually used for bona or soser, banging nails. It's a kli shemalach del iser. You could also use it for other usages which aren't usser, like to crack a nut, but since its primary usage is l'iser, therefore it is muktzah. It's a kli shemalach del l'iser. And it has certain halachos which we'll see. Now, a kli shemalach del l'iser, what's the definition of it? The definition is that its primary usage, if you look in source number 2, source number 1 on the Marma Komo sheet is just some of the reasons of Muktzah for those that want to look at it on their own. But in source number 2, the Mishnah Berurah in Siman Shin Ches says that it's something that even if it's rak roiv malach del iser, its primary usage is for iser. It doesn't have to be exclusively used for iser, but it depends on primary usage. That being the case, the Paiskim discuss a simple watch. A watch, even though it's electric-powered, it's not muktzah. It's not primarily used for iser. It's true, in order to activate the watch, you needed to put in batteries. In order to activate it, you needed to do an iser. But it's not primarily used for iser. It's primarily used just to look at the time. And the Pais can take it a step further. You know, I'm sure many of you remember when they had those calculator watches. Casio calculator watch, an alarm, a timer, a stopwatch. And the Paiskim say, that's also, it's not even muktzah. You can move it around to protect it or for any reason, because even though it has a calculator feature, its primary usage is to tell you what time it is. And therefore, it's not even muktzah, even though sometimes you want to use a timer, a stopwatch, an alarm, a calculator, but its primary usage is not for that. Its primary usage is a clock, and therefore it would not even be muktzah. It's a kli shemalachto leheter. And so a strong argument could be made that similarly a simple alarm clock just tells the time, it has an alarm that you could turn on and off, might not even be muktzah at all. If you look in source number 3, the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, he leans towards saying, he says, a sh'on ma'orer, a clock that wakes you up, an alarm clock, when it's on, it doesn't need to be plugged in, it's already working. He said it's not even muktzah and it's mutter to be metalpala. So a simple alarm clock, or those that have the Shabbos alarm clocks, there's a strong argument to be made that it's not even muktzah at all and it can be moved around. Obviously you can't press any buttons, obviously you can't activate the digital display and to make it so you can see the time at night, etc. But from a muktzah vantage point, it might not even be muktzah at all. But how about, let's make it an alarm clock that is muktzah. So let's say it's an alarm clock that has radio on it, and its primary usage is also for the radio and other features, certainly a cell phone. But let's start with an alarm clock that is muktzah. So the rule of muktzah would be, as we see in source number 4, based on a Gemara in Shabbos, that a kli shemalach del iser is the most lenient type of muktzah. It's a kli that's primary usage. It's not like rocks or sticks. That's muksa machmas gufo, inherently muksa, that's more stringent. A klisha malach delissa, the hammer, the scissors, the mop, that is mutter to move, letzara gufo, etzarach makomo. There's two eterim, famous words that we're going to be using a lot. Tzara gufo or tzarach makomo. It's a special heter exclusively by this category of muktzah. Tzara gufo would mean that you're using the muktzah item for a permitted use. We said it does have a minority permitted use. So the hammer, you could use it to crack a nut. You could use it to crack a coconut. I remember my father once brought me a coconut. What? My father, Shlita, brought me a coconut. And he actually presented to me on Shabbos. He visited me in Eretz Yisrael. He gave me a coconut, and I was like so excited. I didn't have a coconut opener in my house. My wife's a great balabustable. He did not have a coconut opener in the house. And so I was so excited. I felt so Talmudic, taking out a hammer on Shabbos and breaking the coconut. That's the example my Rebbe always gave, and I was finally doing it. So you have a mop. A mop is muktzah, schita. You're constantly doing schitas begadim, squeezing every time you use it. It's muktzah, it's a klisha malach d'lesser. But if I can't reach something, the tallest thing I have is a mop. I could use the mop, tzara gufo, to reach something. Okay. But we're going to be zooming in more on tzarach makomo, the second heter, by klisha malach d'lesser. And tzarach makomo means I need the place. Now there's two primary types of needing the place, and then we'll apply it back to alarm clocks. The two primary types of needing the place, number one, is I need the physical place. Let's say somebody left this Sony recorder on the shtender here, and I want to daven for the humbud. I want to give a shear, and it's here on Shabbos. I'd be able to pick it up, and I'd be able to move it and put it down wherever I want. Assuming it's a klisha malach d'lesser, it's something that people would use. It's not muksa machzor chisar and kes. You don't have to use a klachiyah, not even l'chatchila, and you'd even be able to carry it. In source number 5, the Shulchan Aruch says, "Ulahanicho bechol be'eza mokum shiirtu." You could put it wherever you want. You don't have to take it off and drop it right away. You can carry it and put it in a safe place. You can carry it and put it on a shelf in the library somewhere more safe. You'd be able to carry it. You don't have to drop it right away. That's tzarach makomo. I need the physical place. I want to sit in the chair, and there's a hammer on the chair. I can pick up the hammer. Might look strange. It's fine. There's no marasayan. You can pick it up, carry the hammer, and put it down in a safe place. That's one type of tzarach makomo. A second type of tzarach makomo is I don't need the physical place. I'm not going to do anything in the location of the hammer, but the hammer is obstructing my path to get to something that I do need. Let's say Shari has beautiful beis medrash upstairs, beautiful shelves. And on one of the shelves, there's a pen. Someone left their pen on the shelf. I want to pull out the safer. It's going to be hard for me to pull out the safer if there's a pen there. I could slide the pen over and then pull out the safer. I'm not actually learning on the shelf. So it's not the first type of tzarach makomo where I'm physically using the place. It's just a new type. It's obstructing my path to get to something. That would be tzarach makomo. I want to... A quarter? Money? Money would be muktzah machmas gufo.
No, but you said the quarter. The quarter is on your stand.
The recorder. Right.
So it's not like a hammer. A hammer you have a muktzah
digger. Right. So excellent point. There is a discussion in the Achronim about that point. Lahalacha, it seems like the Mishnah Berurah holds that even something that doesn't have a permitted usage, it's still a klisha malach d'lesser, and that the heter of tzarach gufo and tzarach makomo still would apply, but that is a discussion in the Nachron, and that's a very good point. A similar example would be, let's say you want to get something out of the dishwasher. The dishwasher is muktzah. The dryer is muktzah. Assuming no light gets activated when you open the dryer door, or the oven door, the oven's muktzah. Assuming no light gets activated, you have a Shabbos mode, but it's still muktzah. How do you open the oven door to get out food? Tzarach makomo, it's obstructing my path. The door of the oven is obstructing my path to get to the food. And I could open it to get to the food. And then I don't want to leave the oven door open because it's obstructing my path to walk. I can close the oven door, I can close the dishwasher door, I can close the dryer door. Tzarach makomo, two types of tzarach makomo. And just to speak out, two more rules in tzarach makomo, and then we'll get back to alarms. One rule is it doesn't make a difference whether it's tzarach gufo or tzarach makomo for you or for someone else. You look in source number 7, source number 8, we don't need to learn it up, but there's proofs from Gemara, Taisus, that Tzor Gufa Tzor Makomo applies even if it's for someone else. Someone else wants to sit. There's a hammer on my father's chair, I can move the hammer. And one other rule, besides that it's mutter, whether it's Tzor Gufa Tzor Makomo for me or for someone else, it also doesn't make a difference whether I need it now or whether I need it later. My father is still in shul. He's still learning. He's not going to come home for another hour. And there's a hammer on his chair. I could pick it off now, even though he doesn't need his chair now. As long as he's going to need it later on Shabbos, we have a heter of Tzor Gufo or Tzor Makomo. Whether it's for me or for someone else, whether it's for now or whether it's for later on Shabbos. Even if he could use another chair, if there's a reason why he's sitting in that chair, that's his makom, that's his chair, that would be fine. Very good question.
I set up the 7:30 minyan every Shabbos, and very often there are pens on tables.
Right.
I don't know where anybody's definitely going to sit, but probably someone's going to sit there. Can I move a pen or pencil?
Yes. Yes, even suffix Tzor Gufa Tzor Makomo would be mutter. You definitely have a big schos that you arrange a minyan in such a chashuv makom Torah. It would be better if someone would arrange it before Shabbos. Of course, anything I'm saying, I'm only talking and learning. All practical questions should be addressed to the Rav. But based on my learning, it would be mutter, and it would be better if it's done before Shabbos, but if it wasn't done, it would be able to be moved. Because people will need their... People, if people need the place and they won't be able to daven there in the same way, meaning they would not just for appearance. We'll get to appearance later.
Here in this room, we daven usually just Shabbos morning. Many times someone will leave a pushka on the bima, a pushka on top.
A pushka is not a klishma malach d'leser. A pushka is a more stringent type of mukta. It's a basis to the money inside, and that's more strict. You don't have that heter. There'd be other heterim in mukta which we're not going to be discussing, moving it klachar yad. Maybe if someone has very strong teeth, he can... put your money where your mouth is, right? Tefillin, we're going to get to. Tefillin's a klishma malach d'leser according to the consensus of the poskim. An empty pushka would just be a klishma malach d'leser. It's mita shicha d'la ma'os. That would just be a klishma malach d'leser. And then you would be able to move it. For Tzarek Gufo or Tzarek Makomo. Regular. But a full pushka would only be mutter klachar yad. So now let's move into alarm clocks, okay? So the alarm clock, I don't need the physical place. I'm not learning on my night table. It's also not obstructing my path to anything. It doesn't seem to fall into either of the two types of Tzarek Makomo that we were discussing until now. But bottom line, the alarm clock, where it is over there, is bothering me over here. The alarm clock, where it is over there, isn't enabling me to have peace of mind. So we can compare it to a similar case. There's a case that the Yam Yisachar, he's a pirish on the Tesefta, discusses, and that's in source number 10. He discusses a case of tefillin. Tefillin, according in source number 9, it says that tefillin is a klishma malach d'leser, according to the Taz Magen Avram, because you're not allowed to wear tefillin on Shabbos. Certainly not l'shem mitzvah. And you're not allowed to wear it, therefore it's a klishma malach d'leser. It's not moksa machas chisar and kiss for a combination of reasons. We're going to get... But it's a klishma malach d'leser. Certainly to move it... You know, for no good reason, it would be mukta. Now, let's say a person, there are certain things that cannot be done in the same room as tefillin. Tashma shamita can't be done in the same room as tefillin. Someone has a pair of tefillin out in his room, and covering it in a halakhic way isn't possible. So we have a klishma lachlis in the room. Can he carry the tefillin out of the room? He has something he wants to do. He can't do it in the same room as tefillin. Can he carry the tefillin out of the room? Now, that tefillin, he's not doing anything on the night table. It's not obstructing his path to anything. But the tefillin over there isn't enabling him to do what he wants to do over here. Very analogous to the alarm case.
Why do you want the lizard?
It's a discussion. You could look in source number 9. I quoted some of the sources and additional sources there. It's a discussion.
Because
you're not allowed to use it on Shabbos.
In those cases that you just mentioned, you might have a heter of shalom bias, which is a doraisa, that would knock out any Rabbanim, including the Muslims.
But let's say a person could go to a different room. There might be other cases. But you don't need to come on to those cases. You don't need to come on to those heterim. You have a different heter. Zokti yam yisachar tzorach mekoymai. And he explains, v'adai ein apirish b'tzorach mekoymai. For sure, the definition of tzorach mekoymai doesn't mean mekoymai mamish. Elakol shemoynoi lasos tzorach oshari. Anything that's stopping me from doing what I want to do. Something I want to do over here, it's blocking me long distance. That's also tzorach mekoymai. Perhaps we could compare it to a long hammer. There's a hammer that's over there, but it extends over here and it's bothering me over here. Let's give a more practical case. You're not allowed to sit on the same bench as tefillin or a sefer. Let's say there's tefillin on the other side of the bench. I want to sit over here. This is my makom kavua. Now, the tefillin's over there. I don't need the place over there. I'm not sitting over there. It's not obstructing my path to anything. But, bottom line, the tefillin over there is blocking me from what I want to do over here. According to this Yam Yisachar, that would be Tzorach Mekoma. It's long distance bothering me. What? Malacha Shein Tzich Legufa is not a heter in Hilchos Mokza. That's only a heter in Malacha. It's only a Durabana in Malacha, not in total Mokza. I'm talking about in a case where it's not easy to cover it. We're bringing out a Yisoid that we can now apply back to alarm clock. Because by alarm clocks, covering it won't help. So just it's a yesod that we see that long distance tzarach makayma is also tzarach makayma. It over there is bothering me over here. Back to the alarm clock, zok the paiskim, zok the shlomo zalman and others, that the alarm clock over there, I don't need the place, it's not obstructing, but the alarm clock over there isn't enabling me to do what I want to do over here. I can't be in peace. Even though I can still do it, it's just not comfortable, unlike the case of tefillin where you can't do it. But if there's a hammer on my chair, I could also sit there. It's just not comfortable. And that's also tzarach makayim, even though it's just not comfortable. So assuming the alarm clock's not plugged in, because then you can't unplug it, I could pick up the battery-powered alarm clock, carry it out of the room, based on this Yam Yisachar, based on this heter. What if it's not going to bother me, it's just going to bother my wife, the alarm? I could deal with the alarm, I sleep through my alarm. But like we said, tzarach gufa, tzarach makom was a heter. Doesn't make a difference whether it's bothering you or someone else. Tzarach makomo for you or for someone else. This is my Rebbe, the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, told me. Ishtok a gufo. But even if it's for your roommate. I'm saying someone's not married. He could do it for a roommate. He could do it for a friend. And what if you want to take it out before it rings? It didn't ring yet. You'd also be able to take it out. You could take it out because like we said, Tzarach makomo applies whether it's for now or even if it's for later on Shabbos. So you'd be able to put in the drawer, being careful not. You'd be able to carry it and put it under the pillows, etc. So it comes out. Oh, we're gonna get to that. But it comes out. You have an alarm clock. It's making noise, or it's gonna make noise. You can carry it out. It's not usser al tmukta. It's a klishma aftel isser that you can move tzar makomo. And if you want to see what time it is. And you can't see from your vantage point, you're tired, you want to just tilt the alarm clock towards you. Even if it's a mukta alarm clock, you'd be able to tilt it towards you. That's tzaragufo. I'm using the alarm for a mutter usage. I can move it towards me, tzaragufo. I can move it away from me, tzarach makomo. What? Buttons don't need to be covered. Practically, if you know that you're someone that, you know, it's just automatic snooze, it might be a practical consideration to cover it, but it would not be a chiv. It wouldn't be like a Gzeira Shemayata that you have to cover it. So now let's talk about cell phones. So let's start with, if you're using a cell phone as an alarm clock, let's start with a dumb phone. I know most people don't have dumb phones, but smartphones are much more complicated because they have motion sensors. So let's start with most dumb phones don't have motion sensors. So a cell phone, a dumb phone, is basically the same thing as an alarm clock. The one thing that makes it a drop more complicated is that the signal, it does signal scanning constantly, the bars, and the signal fluctuates. You're causing the internal radio to recalculate the signal strength and adjust its transmission power as you're walking through different pockets of reception. And so it wouldn't be misasek, but it might be more davershei miskaven. It's not your intention. Right? And it's not. We would not say it's a psikresha, at least not to create a significant electrical change. Because, and by the way, it is measuring the reception even when it's in sleep mode. Which your cell phone, your dumb phone might be in sleep mode. It was off all night, but still it does measure. But it's not for sure going to make a significant enough change to create an electrical change. It's a davar shei miskaven. It's not a psik reisha, and therefore it would be fine. My Rebbe the Shmir Shabbos said it's fine. My Rebbe the Shmir Shabbos.
So if you know,
let's say you're in a basement. And where it's a very different reception, and you experiment during the week, then it would be an issue. If you know, it changes. But if you don't have the facts, you have to be a scientist to figure out the facts, it would be mutter.
Walking in front of a video camera.
Just 1 second. What?
Walking in front of a video camera. They call it instruction.
Right, that would be a different type of thing. That would be more like, I'm doing a misasik like heter, where I'm doing something completely different that there's no relation. That might be a heter. Let's say, are you allowed to even talk in the same room as a smartphone? Forget about moving it. The smartphone is constantly recording. I mean, it's not recording. I'm sorry, that's not accurate. It's constantly listening for the buzzword. It's constantly for the acoustic trigger of Hey Siri or OK Google. Are you allowed to talk in the same room as a smartphone? It, contrary to the myths out there that your phone is always recording you, because you think it's always recording because it always has the advertisements of what you're talking about. But the way it works is it doesn't work that it's actually listening. It's only listening legally. It's only listening just for the buzzwords, Hey Siri. But it does know what you're thinking based on different algorithms. If you are in the same room as someone for 2 hours, and that person has done searches for a certain item based on their algorithms, you're more likely to buy that item. So they weren't listening to you, just they have algorithms. They know that if you bought shoes recently, that you're more likely now to buy socks. How did they know I was just talking about socks? Not because they were listening, because they have other algorithms to figure out everything about you, and they know what you want before you even want it. But back to what we're talking about.
But the buzzword is always listening. It is always listening.
It is always listening, but it's on a very low level. It might not even be a halachically significant level of electricity change based on Rav Shlomo Zalman. And even if it would be, you'd also have the heter of Misasik, like where I'm doing something completely different. Rav Ozner, Shvisa Shabbos, others discuss that heter. But that's not our primary conversation.
You are listening to benstorah.com.
Well, let's say... I'm saying, so a sheet of clean paper might not be muktzah chisar kis bizman hazeh, unless it's like reinforced paper or a special. But let's say your cell phone, would you let one of your children, or mitzvah Hashem, grandchildren, play with it? It's not muktzah chisar and kis. You would let them. I would not let my grandchildren color on my reinforced paper. It's expensive paper. I wouldn't let them use it as a paper airplane. Okay. So, my Rebbe felt that a simple dumb phone, he felt it's not a zilzul to Shabbos to use. I told him maybe it's a zilzul to Shabbos certain alarms. I went down, I played my Rebbe the Shmir Shabbos because there were some who claimed it might be a zilzul. I played him all of the alarms on my little dumb phone, and I played him each song, the Nokia tune, and this tune, and that tune. He said, this one's not a zilzul. It was one, it was a coconut tune, it was like a wacky thing. He said, that's a zilzul to Shabbos. But all the other ones, he said, were not a zilzul to Shabbos. How about a smartphone? Now, a smartphone gets more complicated because a smartphone has motion sensors, it has a gyroscope, an accelerometer, and other impressive-sounding things inside of it. Now, airplane mode won't even help. Airplane mode would just make it that the phone won't be searching for the Wi-Fi. It will not help for the accelerometer and the gyroscope and all of the motion sensors. It has a raise-to-wake feature. Your phone... When you it's in sleep mode, you pick it up, it turns on. And then if your face is looking at it, it recognizes your face. So as soon as you pick it up, you just cause the screen to go on. It measures the orientation based on which way you're holding it. Even when it's in sleep mode, it's measuring the orientation for which way it should be facing when you wake it up. It's counting steps, logging how many steps. And it's very difficult to shut off all of these motion sensors. And unlike... the dumb phone, where it might change the bars. Over here, it's a psik reisha. When you pick up your phone, it's a psik reisha, a karvel psik reisha. You are activating all sorts of motion sensors. So besides practical considerations why it might not be smart to use a smartphone with a touch screen as an alarm on Shabbos, especially if you're addicted to checking scores and notifications and checking texts and... and Wall Street, right, or Shearer, or whatever you're checking. And so over here, it's also a problem of using it. You could use it as an alarm clock, but not to move, because moving it, you're moving all sorts of motion sensors, which would be a very strong problem on Shabbos. So you could use it as an alarm clock, just not move it. All these Shabbos apps to use alarms on your phone, all they are is they're just apps that set a time on the alarm that'll go off after a certain time. The Shabbos apps, to my knowledge, do not do anything to deactivate the gyroscope and the accelerometer and all the motion sensors. So they're not a heter to move the smartphone on Shabbos. It would just be a heter to use it as an alarm. Not really, you don't need a heter. It would just be that the alarm won't go on forever if you want a practical hack without using a Shabbos app, because there's no real way to set an alarm that's going to turn off. But there is. All you have to do is set two alarms. Set the first alarm on your phone, and then set the second one for a minute later, but set the second one on silent, and when the second alarm goes on, it deactivates the first one, so you have an alarm that'll go on for a minute. It's just a practical hack how to set an alarm.
Manual wind up alarm.
What? Or you could use a manual. That's also a good hack. All right. I personally use like the little triangular Shabbos alarm clocks they sell in Judaic stores.
What's your hack? You have two alarms?
We could discuss it after.
Yeah.
A mechanical alarm, there might be a heter to stop it, because you're... Because over there, it's, you're not, you're saying you're not doing any electricity. Okay, but I want to take this a drop further. Taking this a drop further, this yesod, long distance tzarich makomo is tzarich makomo. You have a fan, a stand-up fan that's blowing on you. A stand-up fan, according to most paiskin, even when it's on, it's a klishim alach to l'isser. You're constantly turning it on and turning it off, so it's roif shimash is l'isser. It's blowing on me. Could I tilt the fan away from me? Yes, tzarich makomo. The fan over there, even though I don't need its place, and it's not obstructing my path. I'm not doing anything over there, but the fan over there is bothering me over here. If I want the fan to blow on me, I'm all fashvetzt, I could tilt the fan towards me. Tzarich gufo. If it's blowing on me too much, I could tilt it away from me. Tzarich makomo. Air conditioning vents, they're blowing on me. If I wanted to blow on me, I could, you know, my sheet for the Shabbos table, I could lower the air conditioning vents. You don't have central air, you have a... one unit, I can lower the vents. I want it away from me, it's too freezing, I can tilt the vents up, even though it's muktza, tzar gufo, tzar makomo. How about lights? Okay? The fans, mar mokum number 12, mar mokum number 13, but let's say lights. So lights, I don't want to dwell on it too much, just to speak out, I have a lamp, could I tilt the lamp to me or away from me? It would seem to be the same thing. The problem is, a lamp is different, according to many poskim. If you have a candlestick is a klishe machlis, so the candlestick not lit, I could move it, tzarich gufo, tzarich makomo. But a candlestick that is lit, zok de gemara in Shabbos, mar makom 14, that is a basis. It becomes a basis, becomes a base to the flame. And the flame is a higher level muktza. It's muktza machmas gufo. What? So I'm saying you need to be careful. It won't be a psik ratio that you're going to put it out. It's a discussion also about Mechaba. But let's say it was, you know, you can come up with a different case. It was lit before Shabbos and now it remains this, it was coming into Shabbos, Mikudis Katsoy, it's going to remain being Muktz even when the fire is out. It's going to remain being Muktz Machmas Gufo. So we have a lit candle, it's Muktz Machmas Gufo, the fire doesn't have a shame kli, we consider it Muktz Machmas Gufo. Zok the Paiskim, Zok the Minchas Yitzchak, Mar Mokum number 15, he says, similarly, a ner electri had dolekes, if you have a lit electric incandescent bulb, it's like a fire. The inside, the filament actually gets very, very hot, gets thousands of degrees hot, and it becomes like a fire, and you cannot move it. So even though it's a klishe malach to lister, but it's also a higher level muktza, according to the consensus of most paiskim, it's like eish, and therefore an incandescent bulb, if you have a lamp, incandescent bulb, I can't move it to me or away from me, I can't move the base, I can't tilt just the top of it, because it's a higher level muktza when it's on, because it is Muktzah Machmas Gufo. If it's off, and it was off the whole Shabbos, I can move it. But how about a fluorescent bulb? But that would apply to anything that gets hot. If you have a heating element inside a portable radiator, you have a hot plate, you have a hot water urn that has some hot filament, some hot coil inside. So all of that would apply. You can't move the hot plate that's on. Tzarek Makoma. It's taking up all my kitchen space. I just want to, you know, be careful not to unplug it, but just slide it over. You can't, because it's a higher level muktzah because of the flame inside.
LED.
But how about fluorescent or LED? So it's a machlekes. Rabbi Yashiv in Marmokim 16 was machmer. He felt, we don't even know why an esh is muktzah. It's not so clear exactly what the svar is. Any esh, any light, he said, he held as muktzah. If you look at Marmokim 17, the Piskei Tshuvas, he's mekel. He says, the divrei hakol, there wouldn't be, because there's nothing hot, whether it's fluorescent, that just...
LEDs do get a little warm, I know.
I know, but I'm saying, it's not an esh. And my Rebbe, the Shmir Shabbos, felt that it would be fine, fluorescent or LED lights. Now, a Shabbos lamp, even if inside, which isn't true, but even if inside there was an incandescent bulb, you still could tilt the top, because the top is a separate piece. It's not a busus. Now, could you move the base, or if you have a different Shabbos lamp, could you tilt the LED light or the fluorescent light towards you or away from you? Over there, it would depend. A Shabbos lamp is fluorescent or LED. They don't want it to get so hot. It would be dangerous if it was an incandescent bulb inside that small, confined space. So could you move the base? If you look in the instructions to the Shabbos lamp, it says to ask a Rav. And because of this machlokes, whether fluorescent LED is the more stringent type of muktzah or not. So let's move into another question that relates. We have three types of tzarech makoma. One type is I need the physical space to sit. Second type is obstructing. Third type is bothering me long distance. What if it's bothering me long distance, not because it's making me cold or hot or noise or halachically not enabling me to do what I want in this place. What if it's bothering me long distance?
Because it's ugly.
I don't like a hammer on the table. It bothers her. Or it's not Shabbos dick. Can you move it? Because it's not shy. It's bothering me long distance for an emotional reason. Nothing physical, nothing temperature, nothing noise. I could do everything I want to do here. It's just emotionally bothering me. So if you look at Maramokum 18, Reb Moshe Feinstein in the back of Sefer Tiltulei Shabbos, the Sefer Hilchos Muktzah, it just doesn't look right. So Reb Moshe says that they asked him, if it's in a place that it's not matim for Kavod Shabbos, it's not fitting for Kavod Shabbos. A pen's on the table, a hammer's on the table. Reb Moshe said, this isn't called Tiltul Tzarech Makaymai. He actually says, that is Kavod Shabbos. That is Kavod Shabbos, that it's there. You're showing I keep Shabbos. And Rebbe used to say, you have a stain in your shirt, it's not Kavod Shabbos. No, that is Kavod Shabbos. That ketchup stain is a red badge of courage. I'm careful. I'm courageous. I don't violate Shabbos. Similarly, over here, that is Kavod Shabbos. Leave the hammer there. Leave the pen there. My Rebbe, the Shmir Shabbos, also held this way. Rav Scheinberg held this way. And most agree that emotional needs don't come into play. And we could bring two proofs. Just I'll say the proofs very briefly. Two proofs. One of them, Maramokum 19. There's a case in the Gemara that talks about someone's carrying heavy glass bloodletting utensils, bloodletting receptacles, which could be a klishim alach tel iser, and could you take them off your animal? It's getting very heavy for the animal. And the Meiri there says, this isn't tzarech makoma. He says, maybe it's tzarech makoma because I don't want the animal, it bothers me that my animal is in pain. He says, it's not tzarech makoma. Tzarech makoma is only when I need the place mamish to sit there. Well, one second. The Ramban also says, I'm not being mishtamesh. Tzarech makoma would be if it's bothering some hishtamshus. An emotional bothering we don't find a heter for. Maramokum 19, 20, 21, we've shown them there, say an emotional bothering wouldn't be a heter. Similarly, another raya, right? Number 22. The Bir Halacha discusses moving tefillin so they don't fall. Tefillin's a kli shema flisser, according to many. I'm moving the tefillin so that they don't fall. Or they're not in bizayon, they're not stolen. Why don't we say, it's like, there's some emotional bothering me that the tefillin are going to fall. It's bothering me, it's staring me. We don't find that that's a heter. No one mentions that. They're discussing other svaras in tefillin, but not that it's tzorach makomo because it's bothering me. We see that an emotional bothering isn't considered a tzorach. So there would be other heterim for bizayon or other things, but no one's discussing the tzorach makomo aspect of it. Graf Shorei is when something is repulsive in sight or smell. I wouldn't say it's repulsive. I'm saying you're on a very high madrega that you feel repulsed by it, but that doesn't make the tefillin repulsive. So let's move into another case that's going to also extend this idea. Okay, someone has his phone fell into the sink. Its phone, when it's off, that way we're not dealing with any motion sensors. His 24/6, his recording device, some electrical appliance without motion sensors or that's off, fell into the sink. Now people want to wash in the sink. Now the rules are, we said, you're allowed to move to Kli Shemalach to Lesser, let's assume that's a Kli Shemalach to Lesser, for Tzarech Guf or Tzarech Makomo. You're not allowed to move it to protect the item. Mechamel itzel, from the sunlight to shade, which is the halachic phrase meaning to protect it, you're not allowed to move it. So are you allowed to move this phone which is in the sink? No one's going to wash their hands in the sink when the phone is there. Why? Because it's going to ruin it. So are you allowed to move this phone? On one hand, I'm saying I need the place. But on the other hand, you know, you don't. Just wash your hands over the phone. I'm doing it to protect the phone. What? Right, but you're not going to do it. It's a clever case. So I asked my Rabbi Dishmir Shabbos this question, and my Rabbi Dishmir Shabbos said that that's called Tzarech Makomo. He said, if bottom line, you would not use it. Not just that it's bothering me. Bottom line, it's not just emotionally bothering. Bottom line, I'm not going to use the sink because the phone is there. So now that became Tzarech Makomo. Now I need a place. We don't view it.
Have a chair. I'm not going to sit there. I could sit there. I'm not going to sit there. It's even worse than
that.
But you're so, not moving the hammer to protect the hammer. Here you're moving the phone to protect the phone. That's Michal itself.
So my Rebbe said, and Chaim Kanievsky, I asked him, he also agreed. He said, if bottom line, you wouldn't use it because it's there, therefore it would be mutter to move. And this could be compared to a similar case, Mara Makom 23. My Rebbe Shmir Shabbos writes in Shmir Shabbos Kel Chasa from Rav Shlomo Zalman B'Shem HaChacham Echad. And let's say it's in a place where it's not matim for Kavod Shabbos. We said that's not Tzarech Makomo. But let's say it's in a place where it's not Kavod Shabbos, or it's just not neat, to the point that now my wife will not bring anyone into the dining room. It bothers her so much, she says, we're not using the dining room. You have to serve the guests in the other room, in the living room. You can't bring them into the dining room if the hammer's out. If it bothers her that much, that now you're not going to even use the room. It's not just emotionally bothering her. It's bothering her so much you're not going to use the room. Then it would be Tzarech Makomo. Because now, bottom line, this room is inaccessible because of the mukts in it.
You have to train your wife to say the right thing.
send her the recording of the shir. So that's that case. Another excellent yesod. So I wanted to end off with one last very interesting shaila that came up in Hilchas Muktzah also on these ideas of Kli Shemalach to Lesser Tzarech Guf or Tzarech Makomo. It's a little bit of an Israeli case. They were having a big bar mitzvah. All of the grandchildren and great-grandchildren, everyone was coming in, the whole family and extended family in Eretz Yisrael. The simcha is a really special thing. And everyone had jobs, everyone in the family, all the sisters and sisters, everyone was helping, and one of the jobs, it was very important, this bar mitzvah boy, it was really important to him, his pekalach. They were going to throw the pekalach at him. I don't know if they have a football helmet like Shari, but I'm saying they were really excited about the pekalach. And someone just forgot to pick up the pekalach. They just didn't get it. And then they realized Friday afternoon, oh my goodness, the pekalach 300 pekelach, we have to go. And they quickly sent one of the grandchildren, quickly, could you run down to that store in Gula? Quick, go buy the, go pick up the pekelach. So he had to go to a different store, and the other store was closed. He quickly bought 300 pekelach, he picked out some pekelach, and he brought them home and kept them in a box. And Friday night, everyone was much calmer, and they opened up the box to see the pekelach at the little Shlaimala bought, and they saw that he bought beautiful pekelach with lots of candy inside. In the middle of every single pekelach was a big grogger sticking out. A grogger. A noise-making machine. You're not allowed to do hashmas, call on Shabbos, Issur D'Rabbanan. It's a klishe malach t'lisser for an Issur D'Rabbanan, which is also a klishe malach t'lisser. So now, what do? We have a problem. Now, the bag isn't a busis to the gragger, because the other things in there are more chashev. But, like, could you throw a bag, even if it's not a busis, that it's not a problem of tiltum and atzad, that I'm throwing muktzah also. Look, it's not a problem, halachically. But you're throwing it. Would you throw it, like, if the bag had a pen in it, would you throw it? You're throwing it to kids. These kids are going to end up doing it. They're going to end up doing malacha. So it might not be a halachic problem of muktzah to throw it. But you can't throw a bag with pens at a bar mitzvah on Shabbos. You can't do that. So now the question is, could you take it out? It's not a problem of butter to take it out. It's not a mixture, because the grogger is a big thing that stands out in the pile. So it's not a problem of butter. But the problem is muktzah. How can I take out this grogger from the bag? There's only two atarim. Tzarech gufo, tzarech makomo. What are you going to do? Tzara gufa. You're going to go crack nuts with a grogger? What are you going to do with it? So we need to come up with tzara makomo. Is it tzara makomo? Now, you could technically spill out each bag and then refill it with all the food, and you get out of the issue of moving the grogger. But I'm saying that's not practical. 300 bags that are already neatly packed. It's just not practical. So what are we going to do? So I'm saying, is it tzarech makomo because it bothers me that it's there? You know, I'm saying, so now we have all the kids in shul handling klishe malach t'lisser, tzarech gufo, tzarech makomo. I remember it was a great case. My son, he raised him in Eretz Yisrael, so he doesn't know all these, you know, action figures and TV figures. I think by now he learned a little bit, but at least when he was in Eretz Yisrael, he didn't know. And I brought him to yeshiva, and he sees people dressed up like a turtle. Like, I'm like, no, that's a ninja turtle. I have to explain to him. Like, and he's like, why is this guy dressed up with like a big S? Like, it's like Uncle Maishi, the big M, and this is a big S. He couldn't figure it out. And so he sees someone dressed up like one of the Avengers, which is some superhero walking around with a hammer. He's like, ah, but that I know what he's dressed up as. This is what my son said, Aziz. He's like, he's dressed up as someone moving a klishe malach t'lisser, tzarech makomo. Yeah. Yeah, at any rate, what would be the heter to move this hammer, to move this grogger? Is it tzarech makomo? Because someone, I need the place, because someone is going to be nichshal, and a kid is going to, it wasn't simple. So we had a simple solution. In Hilchas Tzarech Gufo Tzarech Makomo, you're able to do a harama, you're able to do a trick. In other words, I'm afraid that my hammer outside is going to get ruined. I could do a trick and say, oh, let me crack open a nut. If I don't have a nutcracker, I could say, oh, I'm going to use the hammer as my nutcracker. I wasn't planning on eating a nut, I'm only eating a nut just so my hammer doesn't get rusty. But you could do that. Mar Mokum 20:24. That's what I said. I said, if you don't have a nutcracker.
Why couldn't you do it?
What? Because then the Mishnah Berurah, then it says in Sifkat, it says in Maramakom 6, that you could only use klishe malach t'lisser tzarech gufo if you don't have the alternative to use. But similarly, in Maramakom 25 and 26, not just for tzarech gufo could you do a harama, the prima gadim and the chayadim apply harama doing this trick also for tzarech makaymai. Assuming I have a reason why I want to sit in this place, so there's a hammer on one side of the table. I could say, I want to sit on that side. There's a hammer outside. I could say, I want to sit there. And I'm going to sit there. I'm going to learn. I'm going to do something. And then I can move it. So based on that, so the Rav who got this shaila with the pekulach, he had a solution. He said, you have popcorn in the house? They're like, of course we have popcorn. We were planning on serving it for Shalosh Shudas. He's like, forget Shalosh Shudas. Take every bag, open it up, put a little popcorn in. There's not enough room because the grogger is taking up space. Take out the grogger, fill it up with a little bit of popcorn, and then take out each grogger. Very efficient. And before they knew it, in a few minutes, they had all the groggers out. They filled it up with a little popcorn, and they dealt with it. Tzarech Makomo. The great chop. So we learned several important yesodos in Hilchos Muktzah, Geshmak in Yonim, Geshmak Shailas, Geshmak Answers, Geshmak Halachos. We learned so much about we could move or can't move on Shabbos. Hopefully we're also moved to increase our learning of Halacha, increase our Diktik Halacha. Hopefully it will indeed be a new year for all of us. And we're going to be Mesayrer, not just to the sound of our alarm clock, we'll be Mesayrer to focus on the values that are very important to us, to be Kavei Itim in Torah, to make Torah the center of our lives, and we should all improve our Shmir Shabbos.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.